Man, I gotta tell you, I had such a different perspective on Elijah when they traded for him. The things we had heard out of New York, and then we interviewed him last year in camp, and everything you just heard 15 minutes ago was everything we heard last year. And you know, I don't know that we've had a bigger misconception of fans liking a guy or not liking a guy based off production and who that guy is in real life.
I mean, listening to that interview, I mean, I know we've met him before, but that guy seems like he gets it.
Yeah.
And I know people have been down a little bit on some of the production and whatnot, but that guy's doing his best. I think if he's healthy, we'll have an opportunity to have a role in this offense. But, boy, what an attitude. Really good attitude.
What's interesting is we gave Amari and David Njoku a lot of credit for how they came alive when Joe Flacco came onto the scene. The same thing can be said about Elijah. Like, yeah, he didn't have a 200-yard game against Houston. Elijah quietly put in a lot of his best work late in that season. And so that's kind of just left me wondering if we're sleeping on him just a little bit.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there are roles to be had at wide receiver. We don't know who the number two receiver is behind Amari. We don't know if Amari's going to be healthy all year. So there's opportunities there. Bunch of guys competing for a few spots.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, we've put so much of the expectations on Jerry Jeudy because he was where he was drafted. And then, of course, the Browns, you know, gave him a contract before they had to, which was kind of let's see if we can get lucky on this, basically. Let's pay him now off who he had been. And if he's more than that, then he'll be great. You know what I mean? Like, but, dude, Jerry's not been able to practice as much. You know, Jerry and Deshaun have not had as much time to practice together. Elijah's going on year two here. Like, again, he might just be one of those guys that has like a 10-year career and he's everybody's third wide receiver. But I'm kind of excited to see, not even because of this conversation, but because I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities out there. And if Deshaun can stay healthy, the magical code word, of course, that we've talked about all year long, if Deshaun can stay healthy, you could just pick three guys out that are going to have, you know, 750 or better yard seasons, and I think you have a good chance of being right. Because I think the thing is when you have I know you can spread the ball around when you do kind of those timing routes and on-script throws. I think things can really get wide open and everybody has a chance to pitch in when you're more of a spread offense, which is why I'm kind of excited to see this thing, is because it's not just the top three wide receivers, it's going to be everybody else is going to have their chance to make plays.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. We talked with some folks yesterday about this offense and what we think it's going to be. And, yeah, I do think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch, because it sounds like they're going to be playing a lot more spread and a lot more of the things that allow Deshaun Watson to sort of play in a free form.
So we do have some news along in the NFL, by the way, that Bo Nix has been named the starter in Denver. This is either going to be the thing that rewrites the next chapter of Sean Payton's history in Denver as a coach, builds onto a Hall of Fame legacy, or it's going to be his last act in Denver. I really don't see it going any. I don't see anything down the middle. I think because Denver's eating $80 million in dead cap this year, I think because you took Bo Nix with, the 12th pick in the draft, I kind of think this thing is either going to sail or it is going to sink. And I mean in hilarious ways.
Tell me how funny. Funny like a clown?
Because I just.
Unintentionally funny?
A very unintentionally funny. Because this is his handpicked guy. He can't do what he did with Russ last year. Like, Sean Payton handled Russell Wilson last year in Denver the way any undercutting careerist – I'm trying to think of words that I can say on air. He did Russ Wilson exactly as you would expect him to do with his reputation. He came in, oh, I can't wait to work with Russ. Here's what we're going to do with Russ. And then he started doing the, well, we're going to take away this, we're going to take away that. And then it was, oh, well, he doesn't like the way Russ runs the offense. And he started leaking things in the media. Then when Russ was having a good year, he threatened to bench him unless he took a contract modification. Then that went off the table. Then they came back, benched him at the end of the year because they were trying to get play the contract game with him. And so, like, I'll be honest with you. Russell Wilson's a bit of a weird knob. I don't think I'm preaching anything new here.
He's a very odd duck, yeah.
But the way that Sean Payton did him, you have to say, is dirty as hell. So you can't do that now, because this is the guy that you've said with Zach Wilson and all these other schlubs in camp. I mean, it was a kangaroo court of a quarterback trial here that Bo Nix won. He better be good. Because in a division of Justin Herbert and a division of Pat Mahomes and in a loaded AFC, you could be a 6-win team with a crappy rookie quarterback. And I don't know how much patience Mr. Walmart's going to have there on his $75 million head coach.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a rookie, but he's 24 years old.
He's a grown man.
He is a grown man.
Yeah.
Guy played a lot of college football.
Yeah, he's just this side of Brandon Weeden.
I think it'll be all right.
Okay, everything's relative to where you get drafted.
12th pick. He's not on the worst team.
Yeah, but man, but everything, you have to grade everything on a curve because of the AFC. I just think if Bo Nix had been like the 40th pick in the NFL draft, I think that'd be an easier road for that guy than being the 12th pick. I think the expectation at 12 is you better be a franchise quarterback. Like Baker Mayfield, if Baker Mayfield was the 33rd pick in the draft, we would say, oh, my God, look at the – I know it's been uneven, but look at what that guy's been able to do. He's graded as a number one pick. Literally the number one overall. I know it's different if you're the 12th pick. Dude, there's still franchise expectations if you're taken in the top 32.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
So that is coming from there. Now, Keith brought up something that we're going to kind of throw into the next segment here, but it was about – We're watching the quarterbacks kind of practice here, and I don't want to co-opt your take. So you set it up for us?
Yeah, I guess the quarterbacks are doing a drill where they're rolling out. They're kind of like avoiding defenders by the pads out here. They're kind of setting them up as being defenders in essence. So they're trying to avoid the pass rush, and then they throw it into a net. It's probably, I don't know, roughly 15, 20 yards across the field. So I asked Dustin, all the other quarterbacks are using they're throwing the football as normal. Deshaun, and this is probably part of his rehab, I understand that, two weeks out from the opener, he is doing it with a towel, just like snapping a towel, as if you would see a pitcher practicing his curveball holding a towel. So he's not really throwing a football, he's just snapping the towel as though a throwing motion. And I said, does that worry or concern you at all, knowing this is part of the rehab process, does it concern you at all that he's actually not doing all these drills 2 weeks out?
Dustin, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I would say no. And, you know, Keith, you made the point that, hey, other guys are throwing a football. They're not out there, you know, throwing with a towel. And I'm like, yeah, those other guys aren't coming off of shoulder surgery. And then you kept saying, well, it's 2 weeks away, though. I mean, does it concern you that he's not throwing a ball? And, you know, my first thought about this, guys, is no, not at all. Because when you're coming off a very significant injury and we know that shoulder is the golden goose, right? I mean, we got to make sure to protect that thing like crazy. And you just got to be kind of cautious on how many times you throw a pass in practice, because you want to – like, these doctors are so smart, and trainers as well, in terms of, like, they know how much they can bring them along in terms of the percentage of throws and the amount of energy you're going to exert. It's crazy how they do this. So this is part of the rehab plan. For him to be doing this.
216-474-0092. Does it worry or concern you that Deshaun isn't doing all the drills when it comes to throwing with 2 weeks to go to the regular season opener against Dallas? We'll react to that and continue that conversation. Plus, the will he, won't he that we thought was settled but apparently isn't settled. And why isn't it settled? Next on 92.3 The Fan.